everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Suavemente sweeping the league. Let's see a national battle. Let's see what we're working with here. Also, it was last night. Two really good teams. Chaos. And I'll ask you to consider the Gopher. Let's go around the horn. Jacoby, I think you won that one. Here you go. And you had a prop. Pick some points.
I got one point. Got a football. It's not fair. I think I threw out my hip, by the way.
My shirt's too tight. That's why it didn't work.
There are teams that play one position games every week, and there are teams that play in chaos every week. Seahawks, both. Seattle 27, San Francisco 24 in overtime. About a dozen plays in this game that were completely off the rails. Clowney, DK Metcalf and his 2% body fat, but the ball ripped away. Wilson, the overtime pick at the 4-yard line. Shanahan punting with a $1.33 in overtime just to give the ball back to Seattle so they can win the game in your face. Clinton, I'm going to start with you. Was this about the Niners? Was this about the Seahawks? And did you come away thinking either team was as good as you thought, better as you thought, maybe not as good?
Tony, this was an odd situation in which I thought the losing team showed me a lot more about what they could and should be than those that ended up winning it. Look, with Kittle out, with one of their best players not there, they just had a bad game, and it still took a pretty good team overtime and a couple of chances to beat them. There were all sorts of drops from Garoppolo. The Seahawks' first, 21 points were coming off of turnovers. This was an odd game, but it proved to me that the Niners have a lot of weapons, and if it takes this much to beat them on an off day, they're still the best team, not only in that division, but in the conference, in my
Woody Page, what are you laughing at?
I would rather concentrate on the winning team looking better than maybe we thought it did.
Because, not the losing team.
Let's talk. Oh, okay, Clint, you want to talk about all those weapons? Their best weapon as a receiver went out of the game last night, Emmanuel Sanders. Their weapon at quarterback, really, did he have a good game? I would put him about middle of the NFL in terms of quarterbacks, and he just looked awful when he was in the pocket. He was under pressure most of the night, completed one pass in the pocket. Clowney just treated him like a clown last night. So I'd much rather talk about the fact that Seattle's going to get San Francisco at home later, they're going to end up winning that division. I think that's what came out of that game last night.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez?
Look, that game last night was really tight. Kind of like your shirt there, Clinton. And we can make an argument for either team looking better, right? But to me, I'm looking at the Seahawks and saying Jadeveon Clowney dominated that game for them. In the first half, they didn't have anything going for them offensively. They only had Jadeveon Clowney. Second half, he continued that. And if you're going to just judge the quarterbacks, of course you'd rather have Russell Wilson, who could be the MVP this year, over Jimmy Garoppolo, who was struggling a lot last night, especially under pressure. So to me, if you look at the tiny elements, it looks to me like Seattle's a better team, absolutely. And you want to look back at all the other games and say San Francisco didn't beat this, Seattle didn't beat this. Seattle hasn't beat anybody up better than 5-4 up until this game. But it just looks like, in terms of just this one game, Seattle looks like a better team.
And Jacoby.
Well, Izzy, you're right about something, you're wrong about something. Here's what you're wrong about. When you're talking about which team looks better and Jimmy Garoppolo is involved, it's always going to be the San Francisco 49ers. And you're right about this. This, we kind of got what we expected from Jimmy G. We kind of got what we expected from Russell Wilson. It was Jadeveon Clowney. We haven't seen him since he was that in Houston. He was blocking shots. He was dunking. Different sport. I'm sorry. He was forcing fumbles, returning fumbles. He was jumping in the air. He was sacking. He was all over the place creating chaos. That was really my takeaway from the game last
I don't think we'd seen that since South Carolina. We hadn't seen that specifically since the play against Michigan. A couple of odd, bizarre circumstances in this game, though, Clinton Yates. Talk to me about Wilson throwing that pick in overtime. Talk to me about Shanahan's decision to punt with a minute 30 left in overtime.
First of all, once Wilson threw the pick, I thought this was over. That kick was a debacle, but the punt decision was stunning to me, but it shows me the mark of a guy who believes in his defense, because, hello, they're that good. Note the rest of the season in which they've been popping people left and right. I didn't have a problem with it. It was quizzical. It ended up losing them the game, but I think that Shanahan showed a lot of confidence in a very good football team. They just happened to lose a game. God forbid.
Israel.
I had a problem with it, though. Like, look at the records. Look at their lead in the division. Like, first thing I did when I saw that was look at the two respective records and say, what would those look like with a one at the end? And a tie wouldn't have been that. To me, I'm the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going for the win in that game. I'm doing something instead of just giving the ball back to Russell Wilson there. To me, I thought it was quick.
And Woody Page?
Well, I would just say that I'm confused by your emphasis on another play. I think fourth down and one, you go for it instead of kicking a field goal. Yeah. This has nothing about being too big a moment for the kicker. I just think that when you've already hit three, that the odds are going to go down. You're going to probably miss one if you're in your first game ever. And you had a chance to just close them out right there by continuing to go down to the field and possibly score a touchdown. Mm.
Well, Clinton Yates, the argument that you made that it's okay to lose, an interesting take here. You're in last place right now, but then you'd be fine with that, you know, if you were to lose showdown. You'd be fine with it.
No, I'm saying if my overall record ends up as 8-1, and that's the first time I've lost all season, I'm trusting the undefeated team.
We'll move on. Tonight's playoff ranking, let's talk about that. LSU number one. Nobody can argue with that, right? Right. There are five undefeateds, though. And then there are all those one-loss teams, so I ask you to consider the Gopher. And while I had to consider the Baylor Bear as well. How Minnesota and Baylor rank next to the Georgias, Oklahomas, Alabamas, and Oregons, Israel? Should Minnesota be in the top four tonight?
I'm going to go ahead and say no here. And if you look at look back in the first poll why Clemson was outside, and it's like, oh, they had a one-point win against North Carolina. Well, Minnesota had a very close win against Georgia Southern, went down to the final minute. You're going to hold that against them? You probably should if you held it against Clemson. I think Minnesota, they have a road game against Iowa that they have left. They have a home game against Wisconsin and presumably a conference championship game. If they're on the outside looking in right now, they win those games, they'll be in the top four anyway. But right now, in terms of their resume, no, they shouldn't be at that number.
Gobi, would you make the case for Minnesota in the top four?
No, I wouldn't. And I think you know that this is the wrong week to ask this question, but coming off that big win against Penn State was good, but it was also close. Like Izzy said about the Georgia Southern game, Penn State had the ball in the red zone with a chance to win the game and threw an interception in the end zone. Like, this was not a blowout victory, and the eye test, as we know, is important when the committee
gets together. Okay, sorry. Excuse us for being an undefeated top four team, and it was a little close, Jacoby. Clinton Yates.
You're forgiven.
Do you make a case for Minnesota?
As much as I love the Minnesota story, jumping six spots just to get to where they are, I honestly think it would be a little bit unfair to this program to put them in the top four right now. They can play their way in. If you talk about the TV show, which I talk about all the time, I don't want Minnesota at that place right there. There's plenty of other schools that can do this. They can get their way in. Right now, Row the Boat is doing just fine where they are. A lot of people expected them to beat Penn State. That wasn't exactly the most...
Now it was such an expected win, so we can't reward them. This is an incredible show from you, Clinton Yates.
I'm saying... I liked it, but I don't want Minnesota in that pressure spot because I want them to get there on their own merit, not just because some people got hot.
Okay.
In this
basing. Okay, Woody Page, let's go to you here. Let's see if you're a man who can think outside the box.
Tony, let me straighten these guys out. Well, of course, in a situation, Minnesota fourth, go for it.
Yes. We understand what you're saying.
I just want to make sure you're a little slow sometimes on the update. They beat everybody in front of them. They go to Penn State. They beat a team that's in the top four in the committee's challenge, if you will. And they beat everybody in front of them. San Diego State. That's a good game to start the season and win against a team that's a Mountain West Conference team. Georgia Southern is actually a good team that just beat a team in the top 25. I mean, really, you are going to talk about their non-conference? They put everybody in the Eastern or the Western part of the Big Ten to shame. I mean, they just kicked Nebraska. They beat Wisconsin. They're beating everybody.
Yeah.
So why in the world wouldn't you give them that slot when they
it
go
was
into
a home
State
win over Penn State, so I'll dock a point right there. Who is your number four
Close
then,
enough.
Israel?
I'm going to go with Georgia. I mean, they've seemed to have done enough to put themselves right back.
Kobe?
Clemson.
Well, I think Clemson would be in a 14, but then you have to have another one come in there because Clemson was one of the undefeateds I was counting. Do you have a one-loss team you're putting in there over Minnesota?
You know what? You should probably just dock me a point because it took me like 3 seconds to get the go-for-it joke, and I'm still just reeling.
That's not an answer, Clinton Yates. So you have somebody you're putting over Minnesota?
I'm going with Georgia. I thought their loss was a little fluky on the season. I like that squad and still what they're made up of.
We'll move on. Memphis, Oregon tonight. Let's talk about this. The latest on James Wiseman. He's on the court. The NCAA doesn't think he should be on the court. There's a hearing next week, and his lawyer's name is Bolin. Woody Page, if you're in Memphis and Penny Hardaway, are you letting Wiseman play?
No way would I do it. And you know this is my old hometown, and I have a great love for the University of Memphis, but this is not right. The NCAA told them that it would be an ineligibility problem, which would affect them at the end of the season. They can't demand that they sit him, but the University of Memphis should have made that decision because what is it going to happen at the end of the season if they're, say, the top team and wins the country? They've already had 20 games previously vacated because of violations. That's the most of any school in the NCAA. Why would you chance it now? Mm. You're not going to win at Oregon anyway. Sit him until the hearing, November 14th, in front of a judge who went to University of Memphis Law School. Don't you think you're going
to
have a favorable ruling at that
point? I'm surprised to hear you say
point?
All of this, Woody Page. I thought you'd be all for sticking it to the man. Clinton Yates, where are you on this?
I'm 100% for sticking it to the NCAA, and in fact, I'm impressed that the school and the coach have gotten in conjunction and not threatened the guy's viability from a job standpoint in order to defend his player. What you get, Woody, you can't vacate the memories. You get the kid being able to play and do what he went there to do, which is prepare himself to be in the pros. And just because some nonsense rinky-dink rule keeps him out doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do to put him on the court. I was stunned when they came out and found a judge and said, I don't care. We'll fight the NCAA. We're playing. I wish more schools would take this example and follow the leader of their coach.
Okay, Woody's going to make the argument it's not a nonsense rinky-dink rule, but first, Jacoby.
Well, so here's the thing is, they don't have that much of a case in the court of law, so I understand what Woody's saying, but what will happen by them playing him? When you watch him play, you win in the court of public opinion. This will be ultimately a shot against the NCAA, because when you watch this man on the floor, this is not a college player. He's an NBA player. He dunked 5 times in the first half of his last game, and then it's going to sway everybody to want to see him play more, and the NCAA is going to have to be in a position to try to keep that from
Israel us. Israel Gutierrez?
But it is a rinky-dink rule when you think about it. It says he would be a booster indefinitely because he made a 7-figure contribution back in 2008. Indefinitely means what? Does it mean forever? He was a high school coach at the time. I understand all of that. And I understand it does not look good for Memphis, the prospect of actually winning this case. But I am 100% on board with going against the NCAA or sticking it to the NCAA, if you will. I mean, this seems to be the trend that's happening, right? Things are changing in college basketball, in college sports in general. I wouldn't just fall in line now.
Okay. Woody, I said you surprised me with your answer, but you can go ahead. You can explain.
Well, if it were you, Israel, and you gave $1 million to your school, you are a booster, and that would be against the NCAA rules. Why would it be rinky-dink? He was not the coach there when he gave that money. And so, as a result of that, that's an illegal move. Everybody knows the NCAA rule. Any other booster would have the same problem.
Whether they let Wiseman play, one thing. Whether Lester Quinones can play in his shorts, another thing. Jacoby, you were the one who brought this to my attention. Look at that.
He's about to roll them up. I mean, he rolls them up from the bottom. I mean, this is just an affront to fashion.
Wiseman and Theismann. Let's go around the horn. Bye, Selvac.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Lakers-Suns tonight. Let's preview Lakers-Suns like it's 2010. Anthony Davis, probable sore shoulder. He's on the injury report. Sunday night, he said there isn't a play where he doesn't feel it in his shoulder. Clinton, do you believe Davis should be playing through? Do you believe the Lakers when they say they're not doing anything to compromise Davis's health?
I believe the Lakers believe that, but I don't believe the Lakers are going about this the right way. If I'm the leadership of that team, I say we're going to do one of two things. We're either going to play and we're not going to complain, or we're either going to not play and then talk about the injury. Doing both just adds way too much complication to what should be happening versus what is.
Paige?
Yeah, I agree with Clinton, and I forgive you, Clinton, for passing up time with me to go to some silly parade. So I agree, but just sit him. If I'm in charge, I sit him for about three games. You don't want to come back later in the season. It's early. They're 7-2. Later in the season, if it gets worse and worse and you don't have him then, I think you proceed with caution now.
Israel Gutierrez.
Given everything we've seen and know, I would try to believe the Lakers doctors in saying that they're not compromising him. And if that's the case, I would say Anthony Davis is talking this up just to kind of make himself look tough, because he is injury prone, has missed so much time. And if, you know, the fans say, oh, he's fighting through this, he came out of this on the other side.
Wait, hold on a second. You think he's overplaying it? He's dramatizing it? Is that what you're saying, Israel?
Just a little bit.
Really? Interesting. The man was getting heat on the sidelines during the game. He's wearing that sleeve. Go ahead, Jacoby. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm just going to, because you got muted twice, I'm going to echo what Israel was saying. Is I know athletes, and athletes kind of like to let you know when they're playing through injury.
I know
they
athletes.
Like to just let you know. Give themselves a little excuse when they do that. And I will also say this is, we all know where this is headed. He said he hurts every time he makes contact. He's going to end up sitting for like probably three or four games and then come back and dominate like he did before.
Wow. Wow. Listen, I know athletes. Some of my best friends are athletes. This is an incredible argument to make. You're all getting a mute. I know reporters and they're all muted right now. We'll move on. Celtics 116, Mavs 106. How Boston won their first game without Hayward, with Jason Tatum going 1 of 18. But Dallas perspective, how Porzingis threw out a 1-for-11, was on the bench for the last minutes. He was in foul trouble. For the season, as good as the Mavs have been, Porzingis is a minus 44. Woody Page, what do you buy, what do you sell here?
Well, I'm buying that Rick Carlisle is doing the right thing here, and it's not about that it was one game and a nine-minute period. He's had three games where he's had 10 points or fewer. I think he's trying to, Carlisle's trying to jumpstart him. How do you do that? You're going to back to New York to play against the Knicks on Thursday night. I expect him to have a great game, and this will motivate him to continue that theme afterwards.
Real, what are you seeing with Porzingis?
I'm buying that Luka Doncic is a top 10 player, and playing next to him coming off of an ACL tear is going to take a while for him to get used to. But thank you for not letting Jason Tatum get away with that 1-for-18, 39% on the year. He's not coming off an injury. What's going on with him?
Jacoby?
I'm buying Marcus Smart as Kristaps Porzingis' kryptonite. I watched some of this game during the commercial of the football game. Luka has the ball. KP sets a pick. He goes around it. Brown switches onto Luka. Marcus Smart switches onto KP. They dump it into the post, and KP can't score. He was 1-for-11 in this game. Previous game against Marcus Smart, 0-for-11.
Wow, okay. Well, thank you for switching off during the commercial break. We didn't need that piece of information. Right. But that's a great statistical breakdown. Yates, how about you?
I'm buying a simple professional interaction between player and coach that went on in public. Guy not playing well, guy sits on bench. Coach says he's not playing well, player says, okay, that's fine.
Well, do you
I'll
think
improve.
There's something
right
to Porzingis along. Being minus 44 while the rest of this team has been, exceeding expectation?
Yes, new team, new situation, he's trying to figure it out. But at least the coach is willing to say to him straight up, and he's willing to assess it realistically as well.
Buy or sell three, Steph Curry. While wearing a hamburger helper glove and blowing bubbles, is saying he's expecting to return this spring from the hand injury. Israel, should the Warriors oblige him and bring him back this year?
I mean, I go back to what LeBron said a little few days ago. If I'm healthy, there's no load management for me. I'm playing. Steph Curry should want to play regardless of what the end game of the season is, regardless of what the last 5 years have been. He's healthy. He should play. His hand be damned. Okay.
Listen, I know medical stats, okay? And here's one medical staff that I feel for. And that is that of the Warriors. If you are the Golden State Warriors medical staff after last year's playoffs, I am going to be the most gun-shy to green-light anybody to go back on a basketball court for like 10 years.
You're not wrong. Clint Yates, how about you?
If he wants to play, you let him play, but you make sure you indicate why it is. Hello, he's the only unanimous MVP in the history of the league. It's not for bonding. It's not for anything that has to do with the guys. It has to do with the fact that the dude just wants the ball out there. And he's the best player you've ever
seen. And Woody Page?
Well, I am a medical expert because I have two heads. And if one of them is broken and it's healed, I'm going to come back and play. If okay. it's not healed, I won't play. And I got some more points I want to
yeah,
make.
Yeah, no. Put those hands away. If you got two hands, you got no hands. All right. Woody Page going the wrong way. Israel Gutierrez, you're also taking a front seat view of this showdown between Clinton Yates and David Jacoby.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Yates, Jacoby showdown. Are we previewing a Knicks-Bulls game like it's 1996? Hey, Clinton, did the Knicks make this a must-win for Fizdale after that press conference this weekend?
I feel like every single game the Knicks play is a must-win, but it's a constant loss. It's the same old nonsense. Turnover in the front office, turnover with the terrible players. Who cares? The New York Knicks.
Jacoby?
At least they're not just bad. They're bad and dramatic, and I love the drama. I'm here for it. And here's what you have for your Knicks fans. Watch the Memphis game. You've got James Wiseman.
Right, but my point is, what were the Knicks thinking? They called this press conference to tell us we're surprised we're bad? Come on. We'll move on. Showdown 2, wearing a 100% hat to your Rookie of the Year announcement while getting slightly less than 100% of the vote. Pete Alonso, one short of unanimous, the voter who voted Soroka. Hi, Mets fans. Please don't hate me. Andrew Baggerly, The Athletic. Can you write a please don't hate me column? How should Mets fans respond, Jacoby?
Well, if I'm Baggerly, here's what I'm doing. Be like, you're welcome, Mets fans. I am the Fred Hickman to your Shaquille O'Neal. I am the motivation for Pete Alonso for the rest of his career.
Here's the column you write. Did you watch the greatest home run derby of all time that Vladdy Jr. was in? But Pete Alonso, in fact, actually won. The dude hits yams. This is what we're here for. He's the best player on the team by a mile. He's arguably the best player in Queens. Come on.
Yams?
I think that was all the time you could possibly have for a FaceTime. Sorry, Yates, you got the point, but not the win. Jacoby, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Oh, let me tell you this. There are so many elements of last night's Monday Night Football game that are being celebrated, but there was no performance better than the makeup that wasn't the eye black on DK Metcalf's face. When he lost that fumble, he took his helmet off, and the camera came to him, and I saw Gene Simmons mixed with a wide receiver, mixed with a bodybuilder, and I loved it. So very much. I want to see more from you, Metcalf. Keep innovating.
Changing the way you watch the game. DK Metcalf.
I always love John Randall. The way he did that. I baseball.
Yeah. 23 half hour break. See you tomorrow.